This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Thanks for being with us. You're tuned into Kelly and Company right here on AMI Audio. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald. We are the hosts of the program. Thanks for being with us. And whenever you get a chance, check out the show. We are live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. You can also catch the repeat of the program at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So thank you very much for doing so. As well as remember the Kelly and Company podcast available to you. Just simply subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. And if you would, listen to the complete show or the segments parceled out for you. Whichever way is best for you and desired and enjoyed the most, do it. Just take a chance and do it using your favorite podcatcher. That's the Kelly and Company podcast. Thank you. Folks, let's check in with Leanne Barta, who joins us now, as she does every 2 weeks on the program, to talk independent living.
I'm Leanne Barta. I'm an independent living skills specialist. And if you have questions about independent living, join me on Kelly and Company for all our tips and tricks.
So earlier in the program, Leanne, because I visited the dentist yesterday for a candy-related incident, for whatever reason, Halloween candy became Halloween candy. So I have corrected, and I know we're not going there quite yet with our discussion. Today we're starting our accessible Halloween prep with you. So where do we begin, Leanne? And welcome back to the show.
Thank you. So, you know, Halloween can be a really great multi-sensory experience for everyone. So you have the sights, the smells, the tastes, the sounds of all things spooky and delicious. So why not make it accessible and have a good time with it, right? So we can talk about so many aspects we can go into, but why don't we start with some activities?
Oh, I love that. That's really great. Yeah. Because that's the stuff that we start doing and keep doing for days. With Halloween, there's always those things. I remember wanting to go home. What are you doing tonight? Well, my mom's going to do this. We're going to make that with a jack-o'-lantern. We're going to do this. And those were the fun things that seemed to last all October.
Exactly. For my kids, it wasn't even Thanksgiving hadn't even passed yet, and they're already begging to put up the Halloween decorations and get their pumpkins decorated. And it was really interesting. And actually, what we found this year was really cool as an alternative to pumpkin carving. Pumpkin Masters is now selling these really cool foam stickers, and you can just apply those on the pumpkin instead. And they had that must have kept them busy a good half hour.
That's a nice, safer way to do stuff.
Yeah, and so now we have a raccoon pumpkin and we have a fox pumpkin. It's very cute.
Wow, you can put all sorts of stuff on and create in a totally different way than playing around with that wielding knife and coming at a pumpkin.
Nope, and then you don't have to, if you have a child who may also be, have some sensory, what's the word I'm looking for? Sensitivities. You know, they may not like touching the guts of the pumpkin, so this would be a really good opportunity for them to decorate and still be part of the activity.
Awesome. So with the multi-sensory kind of concept, right? Like if we're talking accessibility in general for Halloween, I think that there's really cool things that are maybe seem outside the box, but are actually, you know, already very multi-sensory activities. So can you tell us some examples?
Yeah, exactly. So if you're designing a haunted house, now this is one you can have a lot of fun with. You can add spooky sounds or music. You can add tactile objects, put bubble wrap on the floor or different textures on the floor, slime, all kinds of different things just to make it a standout experience for everyone. You could have creepy puppets, you know, however you want to do it. And it'll make it all that much more scarier because I know for me, it's puppets and clowns. I can't handle either of them. So,
I find it always interesting when people have their kind of, uncomfortable with one or the other. How come they bother you?
I don't know. I just find when I used to work at another job, we had therapeutic clowns and they were in character all the time and we would get stuck in the elevator together and they would still be in character and they would try to talk to me as the clown. And I was like, no, can't do it. You're creeping me out.
And of course they would say to you, Killjoy.
Yep. And then the doors would open and they would go off into the hallway and I would be glad that I was free.
I think that's just great. Okay, where else should we go with the activities?
Yeah, so for older kids who are into the spooky movies or horror movies, now with the audio description turned on, you can all get spooked together. So I feel like I'm not into that, but I would imagine, I don't know if that would take away some of the scariness with the audio description. They're like, Michael Myers is now coming behind the guy. I don't know, does that take away, does it take away from it?
No, not really.
No?
No, it's still scary. No.
Is it because you learn all the other things that you had no idea before and the only thing that really worked for you was the scary music?
Yeah, it's like if you were already into this stuff as kids, it just kind of goes, it's just triggering moments, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it was Gremlins and Beetlejuice.
Oh.
Rumya, yeah. That's sort of like, you hear Rumya there with that? Oh, very well.
No
okay.
Comment. Yeah.
Did you sit back with tea?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about some more family friendly activities?
Yeah. So if it's more family friendly, we have pumpkin spice scented slime you can make, or homemade pumpkin spice Play-Doh. That's a lot of fun to do, especially now. Slime is the all the rage lately. So why not add certain scents to it? So you can even. I wonder if you could even put like a little bit of like pumpkin puree possibly in the Play-Doh. I don't know if that would make it funky or better. Who knows? Mm.
I wonder why slime is making the comeback. I know for a while we were very concerned by the way it was. I remember as a kid, they, you know, of course, tell you don't put that in your mouth or anything like that. You wouldn't do it. Everybody's touching it and also the properties, what it's made of. But it's very interesting when something kind of makes that comeback.
Very true. So, you know, if you want to do slime or Play-Doh or even salt dough, if you want to harden it in the oven with and use cookie cutters, you know, there's all kinds of different things you can do. So the next thing I really like is a fall sensory tray or sensory bin. So you can put flour or lentils or like anything like that, and you can hide things in it like cinnamon sticks or mini gourds or little plastic pumpkins. You can put leaves and have like a fall theme. And then this is what I like about it. It has some early ILS skills kind of thrown into it because you're practicing measuring out, you're practicing leveling off, you're using scoops. So it's just a sneaky way of adding some ILS skills, but having a good time.
I love the sensory tray, the sensory friendly tray, because it feels like you could just kind of do whatever, you know, put whatever in it. And it's nice to, even if you wanted like a more, you know, chill version, right? Nothing, nothing too, you know, gross or spooky or anything. You wanted to just smell nice, like potpourri.
Exactly. Or you can do like a dinosaur themed one where you're digging for dinosaurs. So you put some plastic dinosaurs and some sand, you know, there's any number of ways you can have fun with that.
And it doesn't have to be big, scary stuff. It's the fun of Halloween.
Exactly. So now with all the stuff you can get at dollar stores, you can go real crazy with it.
Yeah.
Next thing you could do is something, if you want to recycle your little decorative pumpkins, you can then turn them into planters by adding dirts and seeds and have different herbs and spices, and then give it some new life and plant it in the ground and have it in spring as an eco-friendly planter. So it'll come up, and especially if you plant things that keep coming back, like chives or parsley or anything like that. Yeah. So.
Wow. And that's really awesome way to use them. You could get, you'll build up a bunch of them over the years, because that will stay for a good while too, won't it?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So, and then, you know, it's getting a new life and it's helping your garden. So it's a win-win there. So the next thing would be cotton ball ghosts. So you just cut out some cardstock in ghost shapes, pull some cotton balls apart and glue them to the cardboard cut out of the ghost, and you can glue some large googly eyes on that. You could do bats in the same way or any other Halloween things. I like Halloween tic-tac-toe. So this one, actually, I've seen it at Dollarama recently. It comes in the shape of a pumpkin and a shape of a ghost, and it's quite tactile. And to make it a little bit more tactile, you could throw on some wiki sticks, or you can go over it with fabric paint, and then the the cat shapes and the ghost shapes are Velcro, so you can play sort of like a tic-tac-toe, and it's really high contrast, so a lot of nice options there.
Well, and as you said, Dollarama, the gauze mummies and things like that, it's very affordable.
Exactly. And, it's really easy to adapt, so it really wouldn't take that much to make it even more accessible than it already is, because it's already quite large print, so it's pretty cool. Now, this is the awesome. Next thing. If you want sort of like a Halloween snack, but you don't want to commit to like a whole caramel apple or a whole chocolate apple, you can do slices instead. And you can put them on a lollipop stick, and you melt your little caramel squares in the microwave until they're soft and melty. And then you dip your little apple slice in there. And then if you want to make it fun, you can put some sprinkles, some mini M&Ms, mini chocolate chips. Now there's like gummy spiders. Like, you could go crazy.
Love it.
All right. Yep. And then, or if you want to make your own Halloween bag, Michael's has these lovely cloth bags you can pick up. And now you can do, you can get fabric paint that glows in the dark. You can get felt shapes you can stick on. You can if you have that Braille label maker, you can make some Braille art to put on it. All kinds of things. You've got lots of options.
I think Michael's is a great place to just keep an eye and ear out for. I find that a lot of stuff there, and you've mentioned, Leanne, ton of stuff over different seasonal conversations, but they seem to have a lot of, it's just a fun place to go to if you're thinking, how can I make something accessible, or how can I add a tactile touch to this project, right? They have everything.
Yeah. Oh, they really do. They have like buttons and fabric paint and 3D, those 3D doodle pens now that you can do things with. Like, the possibilities are endless. All right. So let's switch gears a little bit here. And when you're actually going out on Halloween night, you want to make sure that you're highly visible, especially this year where we've finally been told that we're allowed to go out again. So you want to wear, add some glow sticks to your cane, or maybe wear one around your neck. You want to consider a costume that's highly reflective or brightly colored. I know some kids will wear reflective armbands, or they'll add like something around their ankles so that the light will bounce off and cars can see them a little bit more easily. I would consider using makeup instead of masks, although now you're going to have to wear both anyway, so I don't know.
Or none.
Incorporate it.
That's it. Like, you can easily be a ninja now, or any of those costumes, because it's built right in. The big one is avoiding using colored contacts or applying anything that's going to irritate your eye, like fake eyelashes. You want to do anything as possible to damage to cause the least damage to your eyes as possible. So you want to avoid all of those things. You want to wear footwear that has some grip to it, especially, like, I don't know about you guys, but I think every year since my oldest daughter was born, I think it has rained pretty much every single year.
You know what, though? When I was a kid, I prayed for it. I wanted it just enough, though, to not cancel it.
Yeah. Or, growing up in Montreal, I remember so often wearing my snowsuit with my costume stuck over the top.
I remember that, too.
Yeah, those rubber costumes with the Bugs Bunny mask with the elastic. Oh, my gosh.
And Montreal, it would just, come out of nowhere. It'd be like, there's a bit of snow just before.
That's it. Just enough to be annoying. So you want to do that. Or you want to consider maybe a bright LED lantern or a headlamp, or bring a little flashlight with you to illuminate your path through areas that are darker to keep you safe while you're using your cane. So this was, for our teens who are still going out, consider going out in their bubble for safety reasons and have friends around you who are comfortable at providing sighted guide with you, or who've had some instruction before, so that when you do go out, you're not going to get abandoned on the street corner.
For sure. That's really important. And I remember, too, as a kid, I wanted to be comfortable. It was dark for the little bit of vision I had. It was just nice to know other people were looking so I wouldn't wipe out off a curb or anything, especially avoiding other people, getting out of their way. But when we talk about the pandemic, for sure, being careful. How can we help our young kids get to know their costume?
Right. So because our kids don't have the benefit of learning things incidentally, we have to talk to them about, you know, what's popular right now, talk about what these characters look like, what costumes or outfits they wear, if they have special abilities or powers, and what makes that character special. So like if it's Harry Potter, they've got the little round glasses and the lightning scar, or if it's Superman, they've got the cape and the big S on your chest. So as much information as you can give them, the better. So you're equalizing the playing field. And the best thing too, you can go take, now that you can kind of go back to the stores, take them there to explore the various costumes and let them feel and explore it and talk about what each one is about, and then let them choose what they want to choose.
I think it's good because we're making like the background work for people, right? We're not just saying, oh, okay, what is it? Do you want to be, you know, a witch this year or that or this? Like just generic costume conversations. You're letting kids know it's kind of a choice, but also you're letting them know that, hey, this is everything that's out there for you, and giving them, because you, or else you have no idea, right?
No.
Like when I was young, we were just kind of going through shelves and seeing costumes and people were describing the costumes, but I barely had context of what that meant for TV shows or movies or whatever.
Right. If you've never seen, let's say, Mario Brothers before, or you've never seen Scooby-Doo, like how would you know, right? So having giving that context and exposure, and then it gives the child something to talk about, because then they have more things in common with peers, because they can talk about the things that are popular and exciting, like Pokemon or, you know, whatever it is now that that they're into.
Yeah. Leanne, like 30 seconds. Do you want to tell us anything we can keep in mind for homeowners giving out trick or treats?
Yep. So for not only for kids with sight loss, but maybe, you know, kids with other disabilities in general, is having maybe standing at the end of their driveway instead of having the kids come all the way up the stairs.
Yes.
You know, the less you have to navigate new terrain, the better. So maybe, you know, sometimes they may have decorations on the stairs that the kids can trip on, or they might have, you know, a sound that might be too frightening. So you want to let the child know that, okay, I have, I'm giving you a box of M&Ms and here's some Smarties and I'm putting them in your bag right now. So awesome. Describe what you're doing, so the child doesn't think someone's taking their stuff away from them.
Great, Leanne. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Leanne Barta joining us. She's our independent living skills specialist, and she was prepping us for Halloween. I believe we're going to be talking some Halloween snacks, you know, healthier.
Ooh. Ooh, maybe
snacks.
Scooby snacks. You know, I wonder if Leanne's a Scooby fan. We'll wrap up the show after this break in one moment. You've been listening to Kellyanne Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.